supposing we discovered another planet. Supposing the civilization of that planet had acquired immense knowledge of the universe, of physics, of chemistry, of medicine, biology, and of sciences we didn't even know existed. And supposing we decided that we wouldn't be bothered with all that, but would just burn the place down and bulldoze it to provide logs and hamburgers. We don't need to suppose this, in fact, because we are already doing it. The rainforest of the Amazon basin is a world so mind-bogglingly rich in life that we can hardly even grasp the scale of what there is to be known about it, let alone begin to understand what little we do know. And yet, in the single minute that has passed since this program began, 30 acres of this rainforest will have been permanently destroyed. And by the end of the program, at least one of the species will have been wiped out forever, quite possibly before we even knew of its existence. Mark Kawardine and Douglas Adams have come to Brazil to look for just one of the million species that live there, the Amazonian manatee. A large, black, sleepy, aquatic mammal. They arrive in Manaus, where the black water of the Rio Negro crashes into the light brown water of the Solimoy, to form the greatest river in the world, and discover that while much of the Amazon basin remains unexplored, some of it has been very heavily explored indeed.
We arrived here yesterday, intrepidly, on a large DC-10. We courageously booked ourselves into a very grand and majestic hotel and bivouacked for the night in our air-conditioned hotel rooms and went out and mingled with the coachloads of tourists.
We're here with our mosquito nets and our first aid kits and all the right expeditionary gear. And all these tourists are here in their brand new safari suits and smart hats going on air-conditioned boats for half-day trips. But to be fair to us, what we're going to do is to get off the tourist track from here, which means spending 7 or 8 days going upriver. And what we're planning to do now is to negotiate for a boat and a guide to do just that.
Well, we met somebody last night who is very, very keen to take us, almost sort of wild enthusiasm. It's a level of enthusiasm that I think we might find a little tiring over the next few days if we go with him. Certainly seems to be our best bet so far.
It's just the fact that he's an Arthur Daly character that puts me off. Yes. So first day we go where?
We go to here, Mitchoft Water, and we go to the Iranduba.
What is there to see on the Amazon here?
The Amazon here, you see the anacondas. Don't hold it. In the pecari, you know pecari?
Pecari.
Pecari,
yeah.
I can show my pecari.
It's like a
tomorrow.
Wild boar.
Yeah. Here we can see the manatee in this area.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sea manatee, good tip. Deal?
Yeah, okay, deal. Deal.
What food are we going to have when we're up here?
We got the fishy and the chicken.
How many people are going altogether? You and your brother?
I and the captain and my brother and the cook.
How much total? $150 plus how much for everything?
What is the total per day?
$220.
$220 a day. I think we're being ripped off, but I think we haven't got much choice.
$1,500. So.
Okay, 1,500, everything.
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 Right.
No extras.
No extras.
Everything we asked for, Roberto seemed to find worryingly funny. He promised that we would see an anaconda and a sloth and a jaguar. And on our very first day on the river, he suddenly asked us if we'd like to see an anaconda now. His friend, he said, had an anaconda. We moored the boat by a house on the bank, and his friend brought out a box which had an anaconda in it. An hour or so further up the river, he asked us if we were ready to see a sloth, and took us to the house of another friend. This friend had a box with a three-toed sloth in it. We didn't like the way this was going. We suggested that, seeing as we happened to be in the middle of the Amazon, it might be a good chance to see some animals in the wild. And at the end of the day, once night had fallen on the river, things began to get more interesting.
Well, we've left the main boat at the shoreline at a little Indian village. We're now in a wooden canoe, not a dugout, but a fairly small wooden canoe, going out looking for caiman, which are rather like crocodiles and alligators. Fall somewhere between the two, and when we get to the right area, we're going to use very strong torches and simply shine them in amongst the reeds. Well, we're of course very low down in the canoe, and the reeds are about 2-3 feet high, so it's quite an eerie feeling as you go through them, and all you can hear are the frogs and the insects calling. It's a really nice atmosphere. There's quite a few in the bank over here. What's a strange sight? There's just a bunch of what looks like little cigarette ends inside the grass.
See at least 6 pairs of eyes.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. And they're about six inches long. But we were seeing
he's
their eyes.
It. He's caught one. Nice.
Huh? My God. Okay, I've got one in my hand here. It's about a foot long.
Yeah, about 12, 14 inches long.
And see, it hasn't got a tongue inside it.
Don't shine the torch right
in
the eye.
Fingers? Look at the fingers.
Like see thing, those teeth?
Yes, I've been watching them very closely, actually. Roberto, would this one, this size, give a nasty bite?
Yeah.
Should I put him back in the water?
Yeah, totally. Oh, there he goes.
This is the point at which Douglas usually falls in. Not that they're very dangerous.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5...
5 pairs of eyes there, staring back at us. Douglas. Got soaked.
Hey? Yeah.
Really, have you?
Yeah, all down my leg and bottom.
We left Malaus behind some time ago, and we're now on the Rio Negro, the Black River, heading vaguely north towards Venezuela. The water here looks a bit like a sort of weak black coffee, and because it's so murky, it makes life really difficult for the manatees. They don't have the benefit of echolocation like, say, river dolphins do, and their eyes aren't very good anyway, so they tend to keep bumping into things. But they do have really good hearing. The main problem for us is that the animals just never leave the water. And although they're pretty big, they're, 3 or 4 metres long and weighing anything up to half a tonne, they're always very well hidden and they're virtually impossible to see.
An Amazonian manatee could only be considered beautiful by a zoologist or another manatee. It's a large black animal with skin like vinyl, and it looks a little bit like a large seal, but more like a large travelling case for keeping a seal in. In fact, it's not related to seals or whales at all, and its closest living relative, oddly enough, is the elephant. It's a very, very slow-moving animal, which spends any time it's not actually eating fast asleep. And it's easy to mistake one for a particularly listless mudbank. Its sleepiness makes it very easy prey for the only predator it has, men with harpoons.
Roberto seems to have taken the point about not wanting to see animals in boxes. He's now taken us to see animals in a hotel. This is a sort of safari lodge built of timber right on the river's edge, 6 hours upstream from Manaus. On top of it is a very high watchtower. Standing here on top of the tower, we have a breathtaking view across the canopy of the rainforest. What height would you say we were?
150 feet, 200 feet maybe.
And we've got macaws flying all around us. Well, I've certainly never been on the same flying height as a macaw before. I mean, it's like a toy kite, isn't it? Just because the colouring is so vivid.
They really stand out against the dark green canopy of the forest.
Yeah, real show-offs.
Well, that was one of the sounds of the Amazon jungle that I've always wanted to hear. It's a howler monkey, and it's one of quite a large repertoire of different sounds that they make. There's one particular one that it's perhaps most famous for that I'm hoping we're going to hear early one morning. It's a territorial call, and it sort of goes woo, 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 woo. And you can hear that sound for literally miles across the jungle, so it must be quite an amazing atmosphere when it's happening. Can you hear the thunder?
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
Put up with the most awful food imaginable for the first day of travelling on the boat, and then Douglas finally plucked up the courage to complain about it, and we had an evening of all the crew wandering around sulking because they'd been told their cooking was terrible by Roberto. And now it's actually improved tremendously, so it was definitely worthwhile. We've got a very nice looking fish casserole, some rice and tomato and spaghetti. And also it seems to be some marmalade and cream. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with that. But it's a definite improvement, and I'm glad we plucked up the courage for Douglas to complain.
The manatee is a very selective eater, and of all the aquatic plants available to it, it only ever eats 24 different types. All the plants it eats have a high concentration of silica in them, and the reason for this is that it's an anti-manatee device. It wears out the manatee's teeth very quickly, makes the plants harder to digest, and lowers their food value. The manatee has responded to this not by changing its diet, but by developing special microbes in its digestive tract to deal with the silica, and by growing replaceable teeth.
Just come to the bridge. It's a grand term for it, but everyone's trying to work out how far we've come and exactly where we are.
200, 150, 160 kilometers.
From here to Manaus?
From here to Manaus.
All right, so we've come a long way. And how far to go still?
So we go 350 miles more.
So we're not even halfway.
What club
that I go in? He's asking the captain.
Ask for the captain. But he doesn't know. He's a mathematics police. The
captain doesn't know. Huh? Oh, dear.
Well, at least if the captain says he doesn't know, that's definitive.
I mean, he definitively doesn't know, whereas other people only sort of vaguely don't know.
Well, I must say, Roberto is obviously incredibly sharp-eyed because we've been travelling down the river now for hours at a stretch, just passing miles and miles of rainforest, and suddenly he calls the boat to a stop and we've gone round in a circle because he's spotted a sloth just at the top of a tree, and we're just manoeuvring the boat around to try and get a closer look at it. It's now about 25 past five in the evening and the sun is low over the river, and that's that beautiful sort of warm, long, low evening light.
We can catch
it.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah. Vamos lá, vamos pegar essa porra lá. Vamos lá, dá pra dar ré, né?
I can't even see it at the moment.
Can you still see the sloth?
No.
Cut the engine.
Então vamos deixar baixar mais essa porra.
I don't know how he's going to do this. It's really difficult to see. You can't see anything. It's just a thick mass of leaves. But oh, there the Indian guide's climbing up the tree. Looks a bit like a monkey. He's about 30 or 40 feet up already. I'm not sure if I like the idea of this. He's obviously going to try and shake the poor sloth off the branch.
What's happening, Roberto? Have you got it?
Not yet. 3 minutes more.
Oh no. Well, it seems the sloth managed to break its fall by clinging onto a branch hanging about 6 or 7 feet above the water. They then shook that branch and the poor thing fell into the water. And they can swim, but he obviously didn't like it and it went right under. I was doing a sort of half effort of a crawl, front crawl. They then chased it in the canoe and grabbed it. Here it is. One really bedraggled, soaking wet sloth. It's a three-toed sloth. They're basically two different kinds. One has three toes on the front feet, like this one, and the other has two toes on the front feet. Several different species of each kind, seven different species altogether. It's hanging onto the end of a pole with one arm. It's now just bringing up the other feet and the other arm. It's completely adapted to life upside down. You can see it's walking along upside down along the pole now.
It's long, great arms also continually sort of reach out in sort of slowly crossing circles. Very, very balletically. Very. Oh.
Just fallen off.
Well, it's just fallen off. That was less graceful.
It's got dark brown eye patches, a bit like a raccoon in a way, with a creamy white forehead and a black nose. And it's almost as if it's got a schoolboy's haircut with black brown hair on the top, except it's going slightly grey.
It's more like a monk's haircut, actually, isn't it, wouldn't you say?
It is, without the bald patch in the middle.
It's just hanging my arms now, completely still. I think it's rather depressed, actually.
Not surprised.
Mm. Perhaps we should think about returning it.
Yeah.
She's going to be quite pleased about this. Come on, sloth. Going back your tree. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, careful.
There you go.
Looks as though no harm's done.
Nah, she's fine.
Picking her way through the foliage now.
Whew.
Oh, that's a relief.
Okay, should we go?
Yep.
Vamos lá.
Mouth to brain, come in brain. 20 past seven on Monday morning, we're setting out on what should be the crucial day of our quest, having spent 2-3 days on the river getting this far north. Today should be the day that we actually get to that part of the Rio Branco where the manatees have been found. Whether we actually find them there, of course, is yet another matter.
Right, so we're going to stop the boat. The boat's much too noisy for approaching close to manatees because their hearing's really good and they'll be long gone before we spot them. So we're going to stop the boat and take the canoe that we found in the middle of the river a couple of days ago. Just moved across into another little channel. It's funny, you can really imagine manatees here. Jungle on both sides, perfect. This is what being a zoologist is all about.
Thank you. Roberto keeps saying harpoon, harpoon, meaning he wants us to harpoon the manatee, look at it and then let it go. But there's obviously no way we're going to agree to that. Apparently where you see the bubbles is where you throw the harpoon. So it's actually a lot easier to hunt manatees than it is to see them.
Well, apparently we can talk here because there are no manatees in this area, but Roberto says that the trouble is the water level's too high, and so the creeks and channels have turned into one big lake, so the manatees are very spread out instead of being concentrated in smaller areas as they are in the dry season. Just about to hit another bush. So they're much, much harder to find than they normally would be. Unfortunately, I've got a rather urgent stomach problem, so we're having to go back to the boat. But also, it's worth it to get hats and suntan cream because the sun is so hot.
Have you got manatee, manatee!
Take it, come on, manatee, manatee!
There's a manatee right behind the boat here. We can only see the bubbles rising. And ironically, while we were away on the canoe, they saw a manatee just behind the boat, over on the other bank. But there was one just here.
Oh,
you can see the bubbles.
Oh, yeah, you can still see the bubbles now. That's extraordinary.
Here,
oh, here, there, there, there.
Oh, yes, you can just
yards
see
away.
Its snout. Yes! Oh, no, it's a dolphin, pink dolphin.
No, 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 this is a manatee.
Manatee, it's a
manatee.
Manatee.
It's a manatee.
What? It's a manatee's yeah. Nose.
Hey, come here! Yeah. Ah! Come here!
Roberto's getting a bit overexcited and he's dived in the water.
Hey!
I think okay. The sun's too hot.
Here, pink dolphin. Yeah. Here, what's it? Manatee. Spoon.
Oh, there's both.
We've seen both.
Yeah.
This morning was moderately successful in that Roberto managed to see one. I saw the ripples, and Douglas nearly saw the ripples. But that's the nearest we've got.
Well,
so
basically,
far.
Everybody in the boat other than us managed to see the manatee.
Yes, that's true. So did the captain saw it as well.
I think so, yeah.
It was never entirely clear whether the guides had actually seen a manatee, or whether they were merely trying to make Mark and Douglas feel that their trip had not been wasted. It is still possible to see manatees in the Amazon, but it's getting harder and harder as their numbers diminish. Meanwhile, during the 2 weeks that Mark and Douglas were in Brazil, it's likely that anything up to 1,000 different animals and plants would have become extinct, many of them never identified. And in the half hour since this program began, the number of species extinctions in the Amazonian rainforest will have increased by another one. And counting.